We do welcome you to this first evening of the second week of Maranatha 2023. We're blessed to have with us Pastor Ray Bearden. We'll be introducing him later in measure. And then we're thankful for other preaching brothers that are with us who will be preaching through the week as well as our directors. We want to hear from our God and we want to draw near to him. We pray that he would do what he alone can do in our hearts. By his Spirit, he would humble us where we need to be humbled, and we need to be humbled, that we might be moved to lay hold upon him. Yes, in these days. These are days that are desperate for the Lord's churches and as well for his people. These are desperate days, and we trust that God will meet with us this week in a way that our lives will be changed and transformed by his word and Spirit. And we believe that he is able. We remind you of what the scriptures say in the book of Isaiah. The Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Thank God our appeal is to him. And so, brothers and sisters, we look in faith. We look in hope. And we see the word go forth in that same spirit of faith and hope. Well, we give God glory. May we together join our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, we bow before you in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, thy Lamb, O God, in whom mercy and truth are met together, in whom righteousness and peace have kissed each other. We thank you for the cross, Father. We thank you for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, that in him you are satisfied. And Father, in him your people are satisfying to you. We thank you, Father, for the righteousness that is given to us through his cross work. And in that righteousness, we draw near now to thee. And we ask of thee in our gathering this evening, in the name that's above every name. Father, we ask of thee for the honor of thy Son, that you would be pleased to pour out thy Spirit. You'd be pleased to bring us, Father, in our lives to that place that you would have us to be before thee and walking with thee. We pray, Father, you would clothe our brother who will preach thy word with thy power, with thy Spirit. And Lord, we could hear from thee tonight. Father, we ask you now to honor the one who is your beloved Son, the Son of your love, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his worthy name. Amen. How can we not sing robustly when we sing about such a great Savior? Hallelujah for that theme of redeeming love. I thank God. I bless the Lord tonight for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It takes dead, filthy, lost sinners, finds them, gives them life, and cleans them up. And we bless the Lord for the good news. Thankful. So glad again to see each of you. Our speaker, as we have mentioned, is Pastor Ray Bearden. I would introduce him in part because I've asked one of those of whom he was the pastor in early years if he would complete the introduction. Pastor David Dickerson, if you would come and introduce your pastor, Ray Bearden, to us.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Brother David. I want to say that before I say anything about Pastor Ray Bearden, I want to say that Dr. Lucilius sent his regards. Amen. And he said to tell everyone that he loves this place. And as most of you know now, he's not able to travel, but he is still faithfully laboring, and pray for him. He's spending many hours a day putting together the manuscript for a systematic theology text for the Baptist. And we're real excited about that. It'll include 4 volumes on all the areas of systematic theology. So pray for Dr. Lucilius. When Brother David asked me if I would help by introducing Pastor Ray Bearden, I told him, surely I would be glad to do so. And I want to take just a minute. I won't take a long period of time. But I want to say this man of God taught me the ways of God. And I credit today what God has allowed me to be and enjoy being as a pastor and a minister of education in so many ways in different countries and worlds. But what a blessing it is for me to just share with you that Brother Ray Bearden was my pastor. I still esteem him as a man of God. He is a gifted man with discernment. I know a few men that have the gift of discernment that Dr. Ray Bearden has. And what a blessing it's been for me when I was a young preacher. I was graduated from high school in 1965. Some of you young people can't even think that far back. But it's important to note that when I graduated from high school, I was struggling with a call to preach, and I left and went to a Baptist college in South Georgia. And when I came home at Thanksgiving, I had a brand new pastor. And of course, that was Brother Ray. And I went on Wednesday night to the church, and I had to tell him. I stood up and said, "May I testify?" And he said, "Yes." And I said that God has called me to preach, and I wanted to make the announcement here tonight. I was 18 years old. And I remember Brother Ray just instantly took me under his wing and started instructing me. When I was in college, I went to, first of all, to 2 years to college, Southern Baptist School. And then I went into the military for in those days in Vietnam, they drafted us. And I came home and left for Vietnam. And then when I came back from Vietnam, Brother Ray was still the pastor of the church. And I never will forget, he gave me a key to the church. And he said, "Now, if you need a place to be quiet and to study," he said, "I want you to go and open up the study and go in." And I remember at this time I was 20. I had turned 20 in Vietnam. But what was so blessed was that I would walk in the door and I could hear him groaning. He was on his face praying for the church and calling them by name. Brother David, I'd go in and I'd open the door and I'd slip in beside him and I'd bow down and I prayed with him. You say, "Pastor David, why is this so important?" We have men today that have theological training. They have degrees and they've got academia, but many of them have never known what it is to have a pastor to pray with you. So he was not only a preacher of the gospel and a blessed brother, he taught me the worth of prayer. And I want to say to you that we're living in a generation that's in real trouble. And you know that. And I'm going to tell you the troubles we got in Washington have started in our pulpits in this land. And if God doesn't intervene and help us by raising up another generation of men of God that'll stand and preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Now, one other thing I share with you, and I'll share this and I'll sit down. I started pastoring the church where I have been. November will be 50 years. I know I don't look 76, but I started when I was 26 years old pastoring. Same church, been with it all these years. And I had Brother Ray Bearden and Brother Bob Doom to come in to help me with a Bible conference. I never will forget it, Brother Jerry. I preached on Sunday morning and battled hell. I mean, it was the worst thing ever. And I called Brother Ray and I picked it up and I said, "Brother Ray, we're getting ready to start having a Bible conference here tomorrow." And I said, "My situation is such that I have battled so hard in prayer, and our people have waited before God." And he said it this way, "Oh, Brother David's just the devil." Well, I thought, "Oh, Brother David, just the devil was bigger than what I could handle at the time." And he said to me, he said, "Just keep praying." And so I went back to the pulpit that night and I preached that God is searching for a man to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. And the Spirit of God began to deal with my own heart. And I said, "Lord, if you'll let me be that man, I want to be that man." And on the next night, Brother Bearden started. And every morning throughout the rest of that week, they would preach. They rotated the pulpit. And the Holy Spirit condescended on us on the second day of that meeting. And I want to share this with you shortly, but I want to say it to you because the reason we have Maranatha is we're praying for a revival. We're asking God to do it again. And Jonathan Edwards said that God kept his message of salvation alive through the ages by giving it infusions of the Holy Spirit. I believe that. It could be that God will do it again this week. Don't just come in here to be entertained. Come in here to seek God and ask God to come on the scene and minister to you. Brother Bearden came into my room. He was staying in my home, and he came into my bedroom and said, "God showed me the sin of this church. Scared the life out of me. I thought he was going to call my name. I didn't want to be the source of sin of the church." But I do remember this, that night he came into the church and he began to preach on the sin of covetousness. And that's when God came. When people started repenting, people started getting right with God. And the power of the Holy Spirit condescended in such a way that at the end of that service, because we had a little wood frame church and trying to build a new one, the offering was $38,000. Wow. In one service, about 80 people. And by the end of the 4 weeks of meeting that continued morning and night, and we couldn't get people to go home, we would plead with them to go home after the 9:30 meeting in the morning, which is usually over by lunch. Went on to 3 and 4 in the afternoon, would have to beg people to go home so they could be back that night. The services would go until midnight every night. We begged people to go home because they needed to go home and go to bed so they could rest enough to be in the service in the morning. During that time, we had deacons' wives saved. We had church members saved. And we had some young people to say, "Here's my life. I want it to be used for Jesus Christ." You say, "Pastor Dave, what came out of that?" Peachtree Baptist Academy. What came out of that? Georgia Baptist College and Theological Seminary. You say, "What came out of that?" That move of God. The starting of other churches, not only in our own area, but also in other parts of the world. Today, we have the ministry of the Middle East Baptist Seminary. We also have the Middle East Baptist Seminary in South Sudan. And our goal is to go to Kenya, the next move. You said it stopped there? No. Dr. Dora, who you've not met, was a Haitian black man. God saved him. He came to the States and studied. He went on and earned his PhD at Bible Baptist. He's a strong Doctrines of Grace man. He's premillennial. He loves the local church. And he said, "Pastor David, I need you to help me. And we're going to start a Bible college in the Dominican Republic." And I told him, I said, "Doc, I'm with you." You say, "Pastor David, what do you say?" When we get to the place that we want more of God and we want His will than our own, God will start doing for us. And I give God the glory for Brother Bearden and his ministry, for he's been in real revival. A lot of folk preach about revival. I go into some of the Reformed meetings and they're talking about revival, and they're other Baptist groups that are meeting together and they are talking about revival, but none of them been in revival. They said, well, I read a history. That's good. It is good. But when God condescends, he lets you know that he's the Lord. And unless you submit to him, your life will not count for Jesus Christ. So I thank God that he's here. I thank you, Brother David, for asking Brother Bearden to come. And if you can get to know him, he's a blessing. He's a little older than I am. He's 86 now. He don't look it. He's stronger than I am in some ways. But Brother Ray, we love you and we're grateful that you're here. And I'm excited. I'm telling you, I'm here because you're here.
Well, good evening, folks. It sure is good to be in the Lord's house, isn't it? Be with God's people. Thank you, Brother Marsh, for inviting me to come. I count it an honor to be here. There's been great men through the years who's had the privilege to preach here. But many of them are already with the Lord. But it pleases me to have opportunity to come and share the word of God with you. Thank you, Dr. Dickerson. I appreciate this man. He's a great man of God. Now, no man has revival in their pocket. No man in himself can bring revival. Revival, and I'm kindly loud, revival is actually, it's not evangelism. There's a difference in a Holy Spirit, sin-killing, God-sent revival that is brought to God's people. There's a remnant of God's people across America, and there's not large numbers, that if they will seek the face of God, I'm totally convinced that we can and will see revival. You can have a revival personally in your own life. A lot of people believe today's revival is over. I don't believe that. Some people do not believe the church can have a revival. You can't have anything from God if you do not believe his word. Isn't that right? You got to believe his word. So faith is so important. I'm trying to get to where I'm going. I feel like God has really put it in my heart to preach on revival. Brother Marsh called me and he asked me to come. And so I talked to him a little and I said, I'll pray about it for a week and I'll let you know where I can come or where I cannot. So I prayed about it and called him back and told him I'd be glad to come. So I'm glad I'm here, and I'm glad you're here. A lot of young people's here, and you're so important. And I hope you'll really dig into the Word of God these days. And if you do not know the Lord, I hope you would come to know him. There's nothing like knowing Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, the one that got up out of the grave and out of the tomb. And he stood up, and he's alive. You ever notice in the Acts of the Apostles that they were men that preached and they always preached? They never left out the resurrection. Because apart from that, there is no gospel. All right, I could talk all night about that, but I believe it's time to get to the word. And I'm going to begin and follow through on revival from that the Lord has given me. And I believe it's for you in these days. So I have taken it seriously. We got people tonight in my home church. I'm not pastoring there now. I work out of the church. And they are praying for this meeting while I'm preaching. Amen. We got people tonight that's in Alabama. They're praying for our revival. And they're praying for me as I preach. We got people in Georgia. And they are praying for us that God will send revival to this nation. We got people in North Carolina. They're praying for this meeting. Because we're taking this days and these hours serious. We are in critical times. So let me read the scriptures. I'm going to tie two things together because I'm convinced in the days of Habakkuk that is connected with Psalm 77. And so that's what I'm going to begin in the book of Habakkuk, make some comments about that, but my burden really is in the seventh, Psalm 77. Do you want to stand while I read at least a few verses? I'm in the third chapter of the book of Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk was living in a day when it was a puzzle to him what was going on. It was really a puzzle to him. And in the first two chapters, he was kind of like we are today, I guess. But he reached a point. And in chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible said, a prayer of Habakkuk. And then he said, oh Lord. He's talking to God. Folks, I want to tell you, God's alive. If you're not indwelt with the Spirit and you don't pray in the Spirit, then you're just beating the air. That's right, you're getting nothing done. You may wear your body out, but apart from the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost that fills a Christian, you're indwelt of the Holy Spirit when you get saved, but you must exercise to move on. And as the Bible teaches in Acts 5 and 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Now that's not a suggestion. That is a command. That's the command to every Christian. Men, women, young people. You young people, listen to me. You could be the difference in your church or nowhere and across this country that you could be used of God to stir and we could see revival. Start out this place even this week. I don't know what time you get out, but since I'm the only one preaching, I'm going to take this off, and really it don't mean nothing. Okay? It don't mean a thing, but I'm going to take it off, and I'm going to preach the word, okay? All right. Watch what he said. Oh, Lord, I've heard thy speech, and I was afraid. I never seen as many people. That is concern. For the churches of our day and this nation that we live in. And I've lived a long time. And I can say a lot about that, but I need to get in the Word. He said, oh Lord, here's a man that's calling on God. There used to be men and people that would go down to Peachtree where Pastor David pastored, and they were children, they'd come home, and when they'd get home, they'd some of the parents would hear him saying, oh Lord, or, oh God. You know why? When they prayed, that's the way it went. We need to get desperate for God to help us. That's the only way it's going to happen. Watch this. He said, in the midst of the years, he said, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. Now, I'm going to stop right there. But, and you can be seated. The day's coming when we may see some real difficult times in this country. We've been blessed too much in many ways materially. But oh, we're in a day of darkness. We're in a day of darkness spiritually. We are in a day of darkness economically and every other way. The Christ has not come yet in this nation. But if God don't help us, folks, I'm telling you, it's never going to be anywhere like America has been in the past. Internationally, there's darkness. In our nation, there's darkness. From the poorhouse to the White House and to every house in Washington, D.C. I'm telling you, but let me tell you something. And I just speak plain, and I've got this Georgia accent kind of mixed up with Tennessee. So I hope you're not grading me with my English tonight. Okay? Somebody went to D.L. Moody, a lady did, and told him after he had preached how many errors he'd made in his grammar. And he said to that lady, "Lady, I've done my best for Jesus. What are you doing tonight?" If we don't do our best for Jesus, we're falling short. Now, that was expected back in the day in our churches. Oh, I tell you, it just don't work. Spiritual darkness is upon us. And so, if you would follow Habakkuk, he moves along, and at the end of Habakkuk, he's got the joy of the Lord. Thank God we need the joy of the Lord. All right, we're going to Psalm 77. I just wanted to give you a little bit on that. And I want to deal with these matters that need to be dealt with. The darkest hour. Here's a man. In fact, Habakkuk was in that place. And some men believe that they probably corresponded one with the other. I don't know. I just know we got the pure word of God. And I know that it works. I practice the word of God now better than 66 years. I've been going to the pulpit this August of this year. I was saved in March and God called me to preach. I don't believe you get into preaching as a profession. I do not believe any man ought to say I'm going to preach unless he has a call of God upon him. God calls preachers. In fact, if God calls you to preach, he puts a preacher in you. And, well, I'll get to talking about all that and won't stay with my text. All right, watch this. The first thing I want you to notice is there's a prayer. Without praying, you cannot be used of God. In fact, if you don't pray according to the scriptures, I do not see how you could even know God. You remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus and he was stricken down with the power of God, and the Spirit of God told him to go to the house. It was called straight. Ananias went there. And he was nervous about going there. But the Lord said to him, "This is the way you know him. Behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth." I want to challenge you some. I want to preach something that will be helpful. I want to preach something that will be hard. In some ways. But I hope it won't be harsh. But it'll be in love. And I've been praying for revival. I've been waiting on God for this meeting. So whatever I give you, I want you to know God put it in my heart. God has led me to do that. Look at him in verse 1. We have his prayer. Actually, it's a song. The writer wrote the song, and then you have the one that leads the song. And he's going to tell us about this in this song. It was in a dark time. This is what he said. I cried unto God. Are you crying unto God? Young people, you need to learn to cry unto God. The saints of God that's been in the way, oh, we need to get back to the old paths. We need to learn. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, teach me to pray. As John taught his disciples to pray. One thing I can credit to my pastor. Back when I was saved by the grace of God, he taught us to pray. Any man that's a pastor and does not teach his people to pray, he's a failure. Anybody that teaches Sunday school and they do not pray and teach people to pray, you are a failure. You need to repent. You need to get right with God. We got a long way to go. The way to revival is up a hard road. It's a hill to climb. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take denial of yourself. It's going to put Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, before anything in my life and in your life. And when you come to God and lay it all on the altar, then you'll be in a place to really reach God for revival. He cried unto the Lord. He said it with my voice. Listen to this. And when I was reading this and I came back and read it, I thought of this. He said, with my voice, even unto God. He said, I even was talking to God. Are we talking to God? If we don't pray in the Spirit and according to the Word of God, you can be talking, but you're not get business done with God until, first of all, you get saved. Are you really saved or you just got a profession? See, I believe the Bible, and the Bible teaches that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, convicts sinners of their sin. Nobody's ever been saved that had not heard the word of God and been convicted by the Holy Spirit of God to bring them to Jesus. And what happens is, when God speaks to you and he deals with you, you may not know just exactly what's going on, but if God speaks to you, he'll wake you up. Because you're dead in your trespasses and dead in your sin. And what the Lord will do is he'll bring you, what the Spirit of God will do, he'll bring you to the Lord. Now, down in our neck of the woods, if you mention the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then they think that you're a heretic. But this is what we believe. We believe if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you do not believe that he's Lord of all, and if you do not believe that he's your Lord and you come to him for salvation, we believe you're a heretic. Jesus is Lord. I believe in the Lordship of Christ because without the Lord, you're not in the ship. You got to get in the ship. And you can't get yourself in the ship. He's the one that gets you in the ship. So I'm going to preach a little gospel along with this other called revival. If we see revival, we'll see a move of God. Sinners will be broke and they'll come. Praise God. It's wonderful to know the Lord. We ought to praise him. We ought to glorify him. Then he brings you the Lord and then you repent. You begin to fall out with sin. You take sides with God. With God against yourself. You take sides with God against sin. You take sides with God against evil. That's what we call old-time Bible preaching repentance. You turn from sin to God. Well, is it that work? It sure is. It's a work of God in your soul. It's a work of God in your mind. It's a work of God in your hands. It's a work of God all over you if you come to the Lord Jesus. The reason why that we can't keep people in church now that's made professions
and made professions in this country, they never have met the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm afraid. And then you exercise faith. I just preach that, and I've got to move on. All right, watch this. Watch this. He said, even to God, my voice, I spoke to him, and he said, he goes on to say, and he gave ear unto me. If you really pray, do you really talk to God when you pray? I mean, are you really talking to the Lord? If you're praying according to the word and you know the Lord and the Spirit of God's in you, then if you pray in the Spirit according to the word of God, you pray in the Spirit. And you don't only do that, you pray with compassion. Having a compassion, making the difference. Oh, we must learn. We've got to get back to prayer. This is what's destroying our churches. And people is moving away. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the missionary. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the deacon. It's not just for the Sunday school teacher. It's for everyone that knows the Lord. Everyone that knows the Lord. So there must be prayer. And you know what? God is hearing your prayer. You don't believe God's hearing your prayers when you pray. Whatever you're praying about, it's not going any higher than the ceiling. You see what I'm saying? A lot of times people just don't believe the word. But then he pleads. This man is in trouble. This country's in trouble. And there's probably people sitting here tonight that's in trouble. There's churches that's in trouble. But can I plead with you? Can I beg you, please? Build you an altar. If you used to have one and you don't have an altar anymore, you cannot be doing business with God. Now, let me talk to you. Are you a person that gets up every morning and you try? Or at least you have a quiet time with God and His Word. It ought to be in the mornings, I believe. And not only that, but you pray, and that's good. But if we're going to see revival, if you're going to see your children saved, and you're going to see your grandchildren saved, but before that, if you're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the risen Christ glorified and honored, you are going to have to come to that. And when you come to that, you will surrender it all. It's not just going to happen if we don't pray. Revival's not coming. God's the one that sends revival, but God uses you and people like me. I hope I'm not moving too slow. But I want you to get it. I want you to capture this. I want it to get in your heart. I want it to get into your mind. I want it to get in your whole soul. I want you to get it in your body. I want you to get so filled up with it that you cannot stop. But you've got to go on. Folks come up to me at home and they ask me, "Preacher, are you still preaching?" If I'm breathing, I'm preaching. There's no way that you're ever going to be forgiven if you stop doing what God gave you to do. You're a Sunday school teacher, you're a mother in the home, and you're washing the dishes and baking the biscuits. You can pray while you're doing that. The book said, pray without ceasing. You young people could be the people that God could use to shake this community. Oh, we're not here to play marbles. We're here to do business with God. Oh, he said, this is what he said. Listen to the condition he is in. Listen at his plea in verse 2. In the day of my trouble, you're going to have trouble. You young people got trouble. A lot of folks don't think you got any because you're young, but you got trouble. A lot of you got trouble. If you'd get it to Jesus, he'd take care of it, or he'd take care of you to where it didn't bother you any longer. Isn't that right? A lot of times you pray about something and you're asking God to fix someone, and if he fixes you, then it'll be all right anyway. Isn't that right? Yes, sir. That's the way it works. The reason why I know that's the way it works, I've tried it. All right, watch verse 2. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. And that day, he sought the Lord. And then, watch what he says. He said, my soul ran in the night. Now, I believe that application should be the inner man. I believe that's the application. My sower ran in the night. He was broken. You know, the saints, there was a day when you would preach. You hardly see this anymore. And while you were preaching, while you're giving the word of God, tears would flow and go down their cheeks. Now, you can't hardly get just a little water in the eye, much less somebody weeping in their heart. That's why God's not moving. God is interested. You think God's not interested in this nation? You think God's not interested in you? He's interested in you. And you'll be interested in him. Because all this other stuff really is going on in these days is really not going to matter too much longer for any of us. And you may think you got a long time to live, but I've already lived a long time. You just got a short time. I thought I had a long time. I was before my Bible. One day I was on my knees. I don't put my Bible on the floor unless I'm on my knees. I'm before my Bible, and I was in that study that Pastor David was talking about. I was in that study, and I was over that, I was reading that sixth chapter of Matthew, and I said, and I got to 6:33. You know what he said? It got a hold of me. That's what you need to happen. You don't have to have a catalog. You just get a hold of something that God's give you, and you get a hold of it and let it get a hold of you. Right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now he's talking about spiritual matter, and he'll provide for you. And I was praying, and I knew God had called me to preach, and I was pastoring, and I knew God. And I said, Lord, I want to preach your word. I want to give it everything I got. I mean, there's no place to give half-heartedness to God. No place whatsoever. And so I said, Lord, I want to ask you something. I want to ask you to let me preach until I'm 80. I thought, man, young people, are you listening to me? I thought, man, I'll never get there. So I can just preach all these years and they won't go too fast, but I tell you, they ran off real fast. Now I'm 86. And somebody asked me the other day, said, what are you doing now? He let you preach to 80. I said, I'm trying to renegotiate it. You know, I want to just keep on preaching because I'm interested in the Lord being glorified. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. It's about the Lord's work. And it's not really about you except he loves you. The devil tells you he don't care nothing about you. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's the father of all lies. And when things come at you, it's not right. That's always the flesh, the world, or the devil. Young people, repent, get right with God, and you'll still have battles. You will have battles, you'll have trouble, but there's nothing like having Jesus along the journey. Oh, yes. Oh, he's reaching out. Are you reaching out unto God with your body, soul, and spirit? He's reaching out, watch him. And he said, he said, Lord, my soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. You know, you get under a burden a lot of times. That's just the way it is. You refuse to be comforted because you want to be the place that you'll humble yourself enough that God can really work in your heart. How long has it been since you really got a burden? See, the Spirit of God groans in you. And I don't have time to preach that. But he groans in you. And that's what we call a burden. And you lay it all on the altar. You put your soul on the altar. You put your life on the altar. You know, we live in such a day that people's minds are filled with everything except one thing, I'm afraid. Brother and sisters, young people, you know when you really will have revival? And I've read this from men past, and I know this to be so because I have seen it in my life. I've seen great moves of God. When you have nothing in your mind but eternity. I'm not talking about your responsibilities. I'm not talking about that. But when you reach the point that everything you do, it has to do with God and eternity in your mind. If you do that, you won't fool with them. You won't fool with that trash that's on Facebook and all that stuff. You'll put your mind on Christ. Yes. Young men and young ladies, that's what we need. And older parents. Some people now got so old they can't go to church. You know what they do? Watch Fox News all day. Well, you can't be spiritual. Fox News is not spiritual. Now, if I let the air out of your tire, well, you just have to pump it back up. But listen, is that being too short? I'm not saying that Fox News is wrong. Our news is wrong. But if you spend in how much time you spend with God and then how much time are we spending with other things, they're not wrong in themselves. Maybe. Some of it's not. Not wrong in itself. But if it takes the place of what God wants, then it becomes your idol. What's the most important thing in your life? God and his business? God and his will? God and his direction? If that's not the most important thing in your life, whatever that is, you know what it is? It's an idol. That's your idol. That's what you're working for. That's what you're giving your life to. And that's going to go down the tubes one of these days. But if you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you give your life to Jesus Christ and his service, I'm telling you, God's keeping a record of that that's going to pay great dividends. When you give to Christ, your body, your soul, your spirit, your labor, every what you've got, it's all to be on the altar. That's where total commitment. There was a man that mentored Pastor David and I, and he used this, and I'm not trying to be comical. This is too serious. But he would always, when he'd preach on total commitment, he'd use this illustration. And you could really get it. He said the farmer went down one afternoon, and he went down to the barn. And he said he fed the hog and he fed the chickens. And the hog fed the chickens and said the chicken said to the hog as he was walking back up to the house, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if the farmer could have ham and eggs for breakfast in the morning?" Sounds pretty good, don't it? And the pig looked at the chicken and said to the chicken, "The only thing you'll have to do is make a contribution. But what I'll have to do, I will have to make a total commitment." Now, that's the difference in the average Christian in the average church across America. Yeah. They don't mind making a contribution. But don't ask me to make a total commitment to Jesus Christ, to that church, to that preacher. I tell you, I might, if I lived in Tennessee, want to go to Dollywood on Sunday morning. Repent. We're going to have to repent. You know, if we ever have revival, we're going to have to well, preacher, you mean you can just repent one time and you got it all taken care of? No. Let me just run this by you right quick. I repented when I got saved. And you know what? I've been repenting ever since. Because you still have an old nature. You're not perfect. And if you get around somebody that is perfect, get away from them because you'll mess them up. You know, we're just not perfect, but you know what a lot of Baptists do? They say, well, nobody's perfect. Nobody might not be perfect, but you ought to give a total commitment and you ought to want to be perfect. You ought to want to be like this book. My. If I preach this slow, I can preach 2 weeks on this chapter. God's helping me. I mean, I've been praying the Spirit to be here. We can't get nothing done. God's, the Holy Ghost is not here. Some of you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm being a little hard, but you just don't know. And we didn't know, you know, until God filled us. I remember when the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. I remember when he saved me. I know when he called me to preach. But I didn't know much about the Bible and I wasn't taught. And God brought me the place that I got tired of just ordinary Christianity, and them churches were dying. Looks like. And I said, Lord, is there not more to this? And I began to pray and ask God, and you know what? He obliged me, and he showed me I ought to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember that. Well, I think it's all right to give something that God's done for you. Paul testified there where he went, how the Lord dealt with him. I made a profession when I was 10 in the same church that I got born again in when I was 20. A lot of people got a profession and they've been baptized, they got their name on the church roll. I did that, but I didn't have a love for Christ. I didn't have a love for the church. I went when they could get me to go. When I got big enough. You see where we're going? I hope we see it. He said in verse 3, look at this, 5 times in this, from verse 3 down to verse 11, I believe you got 5 times, he said, I remember. You know what Habakkuk said? Remember the day of wrath. Let me tell you something. If Washington, D.C. has their way, you're going to see the way of wrath. We ought to be praying that God would save America. Are you praying that God will raise up some people in Washington, D.C. that would have enough character that they'd love the flag again? They'd love America again? Well, preacher, we're not preaching politics. I'm not preaching politics. I'm preaching godliness, and I'm preaching a country that was built on this Bible. I am saying if God don't save America, and I believe God's the only one that can, she's down the tubes. You're going to move into some areas that you're going to have no authority over yourself. You're going to have that iron fist over you. They're doing everything they can to destroy this nation. And I believe the only hope is God. I believe the only hope for good old America, and I love America, and I die for America. And I pray for people that's in leadership. And I'm not preaching politics. I'm preaching godliness and holiness and a nation that loves God again. But it's going to take a Holy Ghost revival, and you cannot bring it, and I cannot bring it. God's going to have to be the one that brings it. But you can be used to it. I think I ought to tell you a few things along. I was about 25, I believe. And I was in Olivia, where Pastor David was when I met him at 18, in Georgia, Dalton. And I met a preacher. He was an older preacher. He had been in the underworld, and he got saved. You see, when God saves you, if you're in the underworld, he'll get you out of that. When God saves you, if you love the liquor bottle, he'll get you out of that. And I'm talking about all the way. And if you love drugs, he'll get you out of that. And if you love the ways that's not moral and good, young people, the Lord will get you out of that, and he can keep you from falling. And I was a man reading the word. I was a man that read the word. And I was seeking God more and more. And I liked to hear him talk because he had so much wisdom. His name was Joe Parsons. When Brother Joe would come to town, I would go hear him preach. I got more out of what he told me than I did when he was preaching. Because he had so much wisdom, and the way he handled this thing taught me a lot. We went down to U.S. Cafe, and I'd buy his breakfast because I wanted him to talk to me. So we ordered our breakfast that morning. And they brought the breakfast and set it down in front of us. And he looked across the table and he said to me, "Boy," see, I was a boy preacher to him. He's an old saint of God that's gone the right way for a long time. He's walked with God. He said, "Boy, I was at the throne of grace this morning at 4:00. I didn't see you there. My appetite was not good for them ham and eggs. I didn't say nothing." I mean, you know, he didn't have to take me off somewhere and preach to me an hour. He was full of God. He is full of the Holy Ghost. He is full of the Word. And God spoke what I need to hear, and he just went on. That's all he said. You know, I didn't say nothing back to him. But you know what I said to myself, and you know what I said to God? I said, "Lord, I was not there this morning, but if he's there in the morning, I'll be there." If you don't pray, please don't preach. We don't need people that don't pray to preach. You don't have nothing to say. It's some humanistic move. You know what this gospel they're preaching down in the Southland, a lot of it, it's nothing but humanism. You know, you get saved anytime you want to, and you just go through their little story, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. And now don't ever let nobody tell you now that you're not saved because you went down the 1, 2, 3 road. You better go down that Damascus road. You better go down that road where you get born again. Amen. Well, you'll eat in a while and get in the bed about 4, won't you? I mean, about 3. But you know, God taught me something out of that, because we moved along and I would get up at 4. And the Lord moved us to Kingston from Dalton. And God blessed that work beyond words. I had a great church. Great people, praying people. And they really were just stand by the word. God sent revival. God sent revival. We've seen revival. I could tell you a lot, but we had a Christian school of 250 children, young people. I had Brother Bob Doom to come for a meeting. Brother Doom preached every morning to those young people on Saul of Tarsus. We needed room. And I wouldn't even We need room to, you get 250 kids, you better have somewhere to put them. So we build a gym. But let me go this road. We need a piece of land. And we was able to get it for $62,000. We went down to the bank. Now listen, folks, this is important. We went down to the bank and they told us there'd be no problem. They'd let us have the money to buy the land. And I said, well, how long would it take us to pay for it? They said 14 and a half years. We didn't even need 6 months. I mean, you know. So I'm over there and I'm reading Ari Torrey's book on the power of prayer. I'd get up at 4 and I was going over praying. Somebody said, how you pray at 4? Well, you pray a while on your knees, and if you get sleepy, which is not likely, you walk up and down the aisles. You get down on your... Somebody said you can't pray all night. That's just all they know. You can pray all night. Reason why I know, I prayed all night. I guess that's another story. I need to finish this one. I'm bad to start one, and there's another one comes along. The next thing I know, I left them behind. They wonder, what was that all about? I crawled up under the pew right over there. It's on the right side. There's three rows of pews, and I'm over here on the right side. And I got, you know, when you pray, don't just do all the talking. Let the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, talk to you. You better get to listening, because that's the only way you're going to learn much. Because he's the one that teaches you. I'm praying. I'm not praying about land. I'm not praying. I'm praying for souls. And high school boys are coming down. Upstairs in that school and tears running down their face. And hunting an altar and saying, I want to get saved. I want to get saved. Girls were getting saved. I don't know how many we had saved. And God told me, well, you talk like God speaks direct to you. I never have seen him, but he speaks to me on a regular basis. In fact, if you got him, he's in you. In the person of the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ is in you. In fact, the Bible said, Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you don't have him in you, you don't have no hope of glory. And the Lord said to me, I don't want you to borrow that money. Well, I wasn't praying about money. I was praying about souls. And I thought that must be the other spirit. You know, when you pray about something, put the test on it, the Holy Ghost, but the Word of God with it. And I said, Lord, we can't do that. See, I got the instructing God now. That's what you'll do if you're not careful. I said, Lord, we can't do that. Our people's just working people. We cannot do that. But he didn't change his mind. He just kept impressing that on me. And I said, Lord, I'm trying the spirits now, see. I said, give me the Word of God on it. This is you. You know? Try me, God said. I believe you ought to try him, don't you? He took me to Malachi just like that. Bring your tithes and your offerings in the storehouse and see if I won't pour you out a blessing. You'll not be able to receive. Boy, there's a lot of Baptists. If you preach on money, you just as well to shout them with a gun in their pocketbook. Everybody shouted on that one. All right, watch this. I said, Lord, I need, this is so serious. I don't want to mislead my people. I mean, these are God's people. That's, you know, if you're a pastor in a church, and I don't know who's pastor or not, if you don't love the people, please leave and let them get somebody that really loves them. Well, you know what God gave me? Never has given me these two things for nothing else. God don't have to repeat nothing. He gave me the virgin birth when the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary. There's nothing impossible with God. I'm going to tell you, if you got a mountain that's too big, God can build a tunnel through it. We drove through some of them. We get up here, some of the longest ones I've ever seen. I'm telling you, if you want to try to cross the river or the ocean, he'll give you a boat to get you across. Or he'll give you a boat to swim. If you believe God, you can do anything God ever wants you to do. So I went home and told my wife, Sue. Sue's with the Lord now. She went to be with the Lord 2.5 years. And I said to Sue, now folks, I'm going to close on this. I know you're probably tired. You've been good listeners. I said, Sue, the Lord told me that over there at church this morning. I said, what do you think about that? She said, I don't know, Ray. Well, I went off. I was wondering about Wednesday, you know. And she said she didn't know. The Lord said, I didn't tell her. I told you. I said to Bob, Brother Bob, he used to preach here. He's with the Lord now, Brother Doom. And he said the same thing. That Sunday morning, we had Bob there and he preached, Brother Doom, I should say, Brother Bob Doom. And the altar filled up and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, tell them now. And I just walked up there and told them. I said, and I'm telling this for the glory of God. I really have struggled with this. Somebody said, well, you're talking about yourself. No, I'm talking about God. Yes. I'm talking about what God has done. He just used this vessel. And he used that church. And so I said, church, I told him what I was praying. And I said, God told me for us not to borrow that money. We are to give it. I said, Sue and I, we've got a lot. We didn't have a house. We had a lot. And I said, we want to give that. We didn't have no money, but we had a lot. We gave all we had. One of my deacons said, my wife and I's got one next to the preacher, we'll give it. Another deacon said, my wife and I's got one by the house, we'll give it. I didn't push them. I just told them what God wanted. I didn't say, now come on, folks, give. They just started giving. Right. Now, this was a terrible thing because they gave. You know what time we got out of church? We was not backed in wanting to go to lunch. You know what time we got out of church? 2:00. You know what had happened since that altar call? We had $62,000 given. God did more in an hour and a half than we could do in 14.5 years. If God were to move in this country, they'd be hunting for the church. And God may let judgment come. It looks like it's in the making. But I believe if the remnant of God would pray, I believe God is able and more than able to send revival to good old America. And I tell you where I believe it's going to have to start. I know this is right. In this book, obeying it. And on our knees, we're going to have a lot of knee work. I could tell you stories of people that prayed and what's happened. And these men can. And some of you ladies could. You serve God. And it looks like a lot of people's telling you that you can't have a revival. You can't if you don't obey God. I believe in the coming to Christ. I believe Jesus is coming for it. A lot of people are sold on the fact that Jesus has got to come and get us out of this mess. I have them to tell me that. A preacher, I tell you. And I've seen him die and he still hadn't come. I'm talking about since COVID. Yeah. The Lord's coming, he's going to get us out of this mess. No, he may not come as quick as you may think he's coming. And you may be in the biggest mess that we've ever been in this country since World War II, and we haven't. We won the war. I was here when they won the war in World War II. I remember when the boys came home, my uncles and all. God is real, folks. Now, Pastor, Brother Marsh, I don't know how you want me to close this.
God leads you, my brother.
But if there's anybody that you feel like you ought to come and you ought to pray. And you know, I've been asking God, search me, O Lord. See if there's any wicked way in me. Oh God, work a work in my heart. I want to be where I can, a broken and a contract spirit, God will not despise. I think we're too prideful. I think we fail to pray, and our churches are dying. And if we don't get back to God, they will die. I'm going to churches now in the South, and I'm telling you, they are dying. They're dying. You know why they're dying? They don't pray. They don't walk with God. Let us stand. My brother, would you come? And would you want to close it? Brother Morris, you know what you want.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate so much the word of God and the way that our brother buried his heart. Shared with us the burden which he has. I think the greatest thing that could happen in this meeting this week is that burden that he shared is a burden that we get under. As that brother was closing, I thought about the words of that song, My Wonderful Lord. Some of you may know it. One of the stanzas says, I desire that my life may be ordered by thee, and my will be in perfect accord with thine own precious will, thy desires to fulfill, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. Our brothers preached that tonight. Our lives lining up with the will of God. In a broken way, in a way that doesn't hold back, that says to the Lord Jesus, you are worthy of full commitment in my life. And I feel that's the challenge that's been presented to us, to cry out to God like the psalmist did, like Habakkuk did. I would just ask, we might have a time of prayer. If you want to come forward and do that, if you want to pray where you are, I just ask that we wait on the Lord a while. Call on him. You can do it as you're seated. You can do it on your knees. You can do it on your whatever way God might put it in your heart. But let's call upon him together. And as we do that, we can dismiss as we feel whatever been communicated to the Lord. You honor the Lord, though, in that, please, if you would.
Amen.
Let's just wait upon him together, brothers and sisters. And I trust the sweet Spirit of God will sweep over this place.
Yes, brother. Yes, sir.
And work in that way that he can do. You'll be at liberty, but I ask you, first of all, to pray in whatever way God will move upon your heart this evening by his Spirit.